Polly Mycroft, look who it is. My aunt reacted favourably by rising to meet me, but Mycroft was more interested in watching Name That Fruit on the television. He laughed a silly, snorting laugh at a poor joke and waved a greeting in my direction without looking up.
"Hello, Thursday, darling," said my aunt. "Careful, I'm all made up."
We pointed cheeks at each other and made mwah noises. My aunt smelled strongly of lavender and had so much makeup on that even good Queen Bess would have been shocked.
"You well, auntie?"
"Couldn't be better."
She kicked her husband painfully on the ankle.
"Mycroft, it's your niece."
"Hello, pet," he said without looking up, rubbing his foot. Polly lowered her voice.
"It's such a worry. All he does is watch TV and tinker in his workshop. Sometimes I think there's no one at home at all."
She glared hard at the back of his head before returning her attention to me.
"Staying for long?"
"She's been posted here," put in my mother.
"Have you lost weight?"
"I work out."
"Do you have a boyfriend?"
"No,"
I replied. They would ask me about Landon next.
"Have you called Landon?"
"No, I haven't, and I don't want you to either." "Such a nice lad. The Toad did a fantastic review of his last book, Once Were Scoundrels. Have you read it?"
I ignored her.
"Any news from Father?" I asked.
"He didn't like the mauve paint in the bedroom," said my mother. "I can't think why you suggested it."
Aunt Polly beckoned me closer and hissed unsubtly and very loudly in my ear.
"You'll have to excuse your mother. She thinks your dad is mixed up with another woman."
Mother excused herself on a lame pretext and hurriedly left the room. I frowned.
"What kind of woman?"
"Someone he met at work.
Lady Emma, someone or other."
I remembered the last conversation with Dad, the stuff about Nelson and the French revisionists.
"Emma Hamilton?"
My mother popped her head around the door from the kitchen.
"You know her?"
she asked in an aggrieved tone.
"Not personally. I think she died in the mid-19th century."
My mother narrowed her eyes.
"That old ruse."
She steeled herself and managed a bright smile.
"Will you stay for supper?"
I agreed, and she went to find a chicken that she could boil all the taste out of, her anger at Dad for the moment forgotten. Mycroft, the game show ended, shuffled into the kitchen wearing a grey zip-up cardigan and holding a copy of New Splicer magazine.
"What's for dinner?"
he asked, getting in the way. Aunt Polly looked at him as you might a spoilt child.
"Mycroft, instead of wandering around wasting your time, why don't you waste Thursdays and show her what you've been up to in your workshop?"
Mycroft looked at us both with a vacant expression. He shrugged and beckoned me towards the back door, changing his slippers for a pair of gumboots and his cardigan for a truly dreadful plaid jacket.
"Come on then, my girl,"
he muttered, shooing the dodos from around the back door where they had been mustering in hope of a snack, and strode towards his workshop.
"You might repair that garden gate, Uncle. It's worse than ever."
"Not at all,"
he replied with a wink.
"Every time someone goes in or out, they generate enough power to run the telly for an hour. I haven't seen you about recently.
Have you been away?"
"Well, yes, 10 years.
He looked over his spectacles at me with some surprise.
"Really?"
"Yes. Is Owen still with you?"
Owens was Mycroft's assistant. He was an old boy who had been with Rutherford when he split the atom. Mycroft and he had been at school together.
"A bit tragic, Thursday. We were developing a machine that used egg white, heat and sugar to synthesize methanol when a power surge caused an implosion. Owens was meringued. By the time we chipped him out, the poor chap had expired. Polly helps me now."
We had arrived at his workshop. A log with an axe stuck in it was all that was keeping the door shut. Mycroft fumbled for the switch, and the strip lights flickered on, filling the workshop with a harsh fluorescent glow.
The laboratory looked similar to the last time I had seen it, in terms of untidiness and the general bric-a-brac, but the contraptions were different. I had learned from my mother's many letters that Mycroft had invented a method for sending pizzas by fax and a 2B pencil with a built-in spell checker, but what he was currently working on, I had no idea. Did the memory erasure device work, Uncle?
What?
The memory erasure device. You were testing it when I last saw you.
Don't know what you're talking about, dear girl. What do you make of this?
A large white Rolls-Royce was sitting in the centre of the room. I walked over to the vehicle as Mycroft tapped a fluorescent tube to stop it flickering.
New car, Uncle?
No, no, said Mycroft hurriedly. I don't drive. A friend of mine who hires these out was lamenting about the cost of keeping two, one black for funerals and the other white for weddings, so I came up with this.
He reached in and turned a large knob on the dashboard. There was a low hum, and the car turned slowly off-white, grey, dark grey, and then finally to black.
That's very impressive, Uncle.
Do you think so? It uses liquid crystal technology. But I took the idea one step farther. Watch.
He turned the dial several more notches to the right, and the car changed to blue, then mauve, and finally green with yellow dots.
One colour car's a thing of the past. But that's not all. If I switch on the car's pigmentizer, like so, the car should... Yes, yes, look at that.
I watched with growing astonishment as the car started to fade in front of my eyes. The liquid crystal coating was emulating the background greys and browns of Mycroft's workshop. Within a few seconds, the car had blended itself perfectly into the background.
I thought of the fun you could have with traffic wardens. I call it the Camellio car. Quite fun, don't you think?
Very. I put out my hand and touched the warm surface of the camouflaged Rolls-Royce. I was going to ask Mycroft if I could have the cloaking device fitted to my speedster, but I was too late. Enthused by my interest, he had trotted off to a large roll-top bureau and was beckoning me over excitedly.
"Translating carbon paper," he announced breathlessly, pointing to several piles of brightly coloured metallic film. "I call it rosettinry. Allow me to demonstrate. We'll start with a plain piece of paper, then put in a Spanish carbon, a second slip of paper, I must get them the right way up, then a Polish carbon, more paper, German, and another sheet, and finally French, and the last sheet. There."
He shuffled the bundle and laid it on the desk as I pulled up a chair.
"Write something on the first sheet, anything you want."
"Anything?" Mycroft nodded, so I wrote, "Have you seen my dodo?"
"Now what?"
Mycroft looked triumphant.
"Have a look, dear girl."
I lifted off the top carbon, and there, written in my own handwriting, were the words, "Hai visto mi dodo?"
"But that's amazing!" "Thank you," replied my uncle. "Have a look at the next."
I did. Beneath the Polish carbon was written, "Gdzie jest moja dodo?"
"I'm working on hieroglyphics and demotic," Mycroft explained as I peeled off the German translation to read, "Haben Sie mein Dodo gesehen?" The Mayan Codex version was trickier, but I can't manage Esperanto at all. Can't think why.
"This will have dozens of applications," I exclaimed, as I pulled off the last sheet to read, slightly disappointingly, "Mon aardvark n'a pas de nez."
"Wait a moment, Uncle. My aardvark has no nose?"
Mycroft looked over my shoulder and grunted.
"You probably weren't pressing hard enough. You're police, aren't you?"
"Spec ops, really."
"Then this might interest you," he announced,
leading me off past more wondrous gadgets, the use of which I could only guess at.
"I'm demonstrating this particular machine to the Police Technical Advancement Committee on Wednesday."
He stopped next to a device that had a huge horn on it, like an old gramophone. He cleared his throat.
"I call it my olfactograph. It's very simple. Since any bloodhound worth its salt will tell you that each person's smell is unique like a thumbprint, then it follows that a machine that can recognise a felon's individual smell must be of use where other forms of identification fail. A thief may wear gloves and a mask, but he can't hide his scent. He pointed at the horn. The odours are sucked up here and split into their individual parts using an olfactoscope of my own invention. The component parts are then analysed to give a pong print of the criminal. It can separate out 10 different people's odours in a single room and isolate the newest or the oldest. It can detect burnt toast up to 6 months after the event and differentiate between 30 different brands of cigar.
Could be handy, I said, slightly doubtfully.
What's this over here?
I was pointing to what looked like a trilby hat made from brass and covered in wires and lights.
Oh, yes, said my uncle. This I think you will like.
He placed the brass hat on my head and flicked a large switch. There was a humming noise.
Is something meant to happen? I asked. Close your eyes and breathe deeply. Try to empty your mind of any thoughts.
I closed my eyes and waited patiently.
Is it working?
Asked Mycroft.
No,
I replied, then added,
Wait!
As a stickleback swam past.
I can see a fish. Here, in front of my eyes. Wait, there's another.
And so there was. Pretty soon I was staring at a whole host of brightly coloured fish, all swimming in front of my closed eyes. They were on about a 5-second loop. Every now and then they jumped back to the starting place and repeated their action.
Remarkable.
Stay relaxed or it will go, said Mycroft in a soothing voice.
Try this one.
There was a blur of movement and the scene shifted to an inky black star field. It seemed as though I were travelling through space.
Or how about this?
Asked Mycroft, changing the scene to a parade of flying toasters. I opened my eyes and the image evaporated. Mycroft was looking at me earnestly.
Any good?
He asked. I nodded.
I call it a retinal screensaver. Very useful for boring jobs. Instead of gazing absently out the window, you can transform your surroundings to any number of soothing images. As soon as the phone goes or your boss walks in, you blink and bingo, you're back in the real world again.
I handed back the hat.
Should sell well at Smiley Burger. When do you hope to market it?
It's not really ready yet. There are a few problems I haven't quite fixed.
Such as what?
I asked, slightly suspiciously.
Close your eyes and you'll see.
I did as he asked and a fish swam by. I blinked again and could see a toaster. Clearly this needed some work.
Don't worry, he assured me. They will have gone in a few hours.
I preferred the olfactoscope.
You haven't seen anything yet, said Mycroft, skipping nimbly up to a large work desk covered by tools and bits of machinery. This device is probably my most amazing discovery ever. It is a culmination of 30 years' work and incorporates biotechnology at the very cutting edge of science. When you find out what this is, I promise you you'll flip.
He pulled a tea towel off a goldfish bowl with a flourish and showed me what appeared to be a large quantity of fruit fly larvae.
Maggots?
Mycroft smiled.
Not maggots, Thursday. Bookworms.
He said the word with such a bold and proud flourish that I thought I must have missed something.
Is that good?
It's very good, Thursday. These worms might look like a tempting snack for Mr. Trout, but each one of these little fellows has enough new genetic sequencing to make the code embedded in your pet dodo look like a note to the milkman.
Hold on a sec, Uncle, I said. Didn't you have your splicence revoked after that incident with the prawns?
A small misunderstanding, he said with a dismissive wave of his hand. Those fools at Spec Ops 11 have no idea of the value of my work.
Which is? I asked, ever curious.
Ever smaller methods of storing information. I collected all the finest dictionaries, thesauri and lexicons, as well as grammatical, morphological, and etymological studies of the English language, and encoded them all within the DNA of the worm's small body. I call them hyperbookworms. I think you'll agree that it's a remarkable achievement.
I agree, but how would you access this?